Hello, everyone. I'm Laura Kaluger, senior editor with Multihousing News, and you're listening to the February episode of Mission Success, Women in Multifamily, the monthly podcast series that brings success stories to light. And one outstanding story comes from Nashville, Tennessee, where an accomplished African-American couple is running one of the most active real estate development companies in the city. They have a unique approach to multifamily, focusing on church-centered community development. But why not hear the entire story directly from the source? Delisa Guerrier, managing partner of Guerrier Development, is here to tell us the secret behind her success. Hi, Delisa. Thank you for accepting my invitation.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Let's start with some background info, because I'd like our listeners to understand how much you've worked to become the successful entrepreneur you are today. Tell me a bit about your childhood. Where did you grow up and how did you live back then?
Well, I grew up in Northern California. My mother was a single mom for quite a while. I did have a stepdad that made a huge impact in my life for a time. But my mom was a pile driver. She had two kids to feed at the time. And she said we couldn't wait on her to go back to college to try to figure it out and put food on the table. So she said, what can I do that a man does that I can pay the bills without, you know, needing additional assistance? And so she did get government assistance for a short amount of time, and she used it really to get out of that situation. And then she went and became a pile driver. So she's a welder and she builds bridges, if anyone doesn't know what a pile driver is.
Yes.
That was hugely inspirational, but we never felt like we didn't have, but we, you know, it was just a single mom.
How was the house you lived in? What were the conditions you lived in?
Oh, goodness. Well, we lived in, listen, the one thing I can say is my mom is a clean freak. And so she loves bleach. She loves,
Most moms. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I grew up in Oakland. And so my grandmother's house that we spent a lot of time in was mouse infested. And I remember, you know, being in the kitchen eating breakfast and there's mice running all over the floors. We ended up moving at a later time, probably around middle school, to a place called Vallejo. And it was the first time we had a home that actually, you know, didn't require work. And we were able to be comfortable there for some years. So, you know, I never knew, like I said, that anything was, you know, not what I would want today, if you will, because of her.
And later you moved to Nashville to pursue a career in medicine and become a doctor. What derailed your path? How did you switch to real estate? It's a totally different path.
Yes. Well, I was biology pre-med. I grew up with the understanding, you know, that the highest level of success you could reach in life was to become a doctor or a lawyer. And I think that is a, you know, sometimes a cultural thing or a thought process that's just put in your head because of your environment. It's the highest sights that we could see. And although physicians and attorneys are necessary and huge accomplishments, I never saw business. I never saw, you know, opening my own company as just a path at all. And so in my second year of college, I met my now husband, and he owned at the time a small automotive shop where he was doing just different little things to cars. And he pursued me for about 3 years before I finally said yes. But there was this pivotal moment, you know, where he said, why would you go and be a doctor when you could own the hospital?
Wow. And that completely changed your perspective.
It opened up the door for me to see that entrepreneurship was a journey that not a lot of people in my family had taken. I'd never seen anyone own a business before. And it took the guardrails off, you know, it took the limits off as to how far I could go. So I decided to drop everything I was doing and help him grow his company in the automotive world.
And then together with LG, your husband, you started small, but grew into one of the most active real estate development companies in Nashville and even in Tennessee. What would you say is the driving force behind your entrepreneurial success? What keeps you going?
Yes, thank you. Well, very faith-based. And so I feel like the Lord guides me in a lot that I do. But aside from that, I mean, he's given me a heart to really want to see development that is driven by intention, you know, and what I realized early in my career is that there's so many things missing because no one's looking at it from a holistic perspective mm-hmm. and from the impact, the overall long-term impact on communities and families. You know, people are building a house or an apartment right. and that's it. You know, I have this huge desire to see impact, to see community, to see families be able to establish lifelong memories in communities that I built because there's something different.
And talking about success, the largest project you're currently working on is Storyville Gardens, right? How did you start this project? Why is such a project necessary in Nashville? And how will it contribute to the metro's growth and evolution?
Oh my goodness, that project is so exciting. So at the time I had three children. And again, like I said, when you are a real estate developer, you start to see what's missing. You know, if the area needs an apartment, you build an apartment. If it needs a restaurant, that's what you, and I was realizing that in Nashville, despite the tourism, despite the growth, that we were hugely underserving the families. There is nothing in Nashville, Tennessee to do, very little to do, let me say that, for people with younger children. So alongside of that, in parallel, I've always been an avid reader and writer. And when you talk about intention, you know, 4 out of 5 children are not up to grade level reading. And this is the moment that changed everything. So there's a study that shows that if we can just get children to read for fun, that it will significantly impact their test scores. So at that moment, there was this light bulb, you know, that went off that said, what if we design a park or an entertaining experience that is designed with the intent to get children back involved in reading and fun and literacy and learning? And it just opened up this door. So that took me, you know, to the next step of diving into what Nashville's need is, and found out that we are the second, one of two markets in the entire United States that had a successful theme park that closed making money. And so it's a wide open space for something that's family engaging, and that set me on this journey.
And it also has housing and everything else they need, right?
Yes, yes. So the development itself is it's pretty big size, just under 1,000 acres, and it has a golf course, a resort, definitely a lot of retail, dining, and entertainment, and then the theme park is the heart of it,
the centerpiece. Yeah.
Yes.
It seems that you have a unique approach to mixed use development, to multifamily in general, and it's all focused on church-centered community development. Tell me more about the projects you're working on in partnership with faith-based institutions, and expand on how partnering with churches is helping you build more housing for those who need it most, basically.
You know, we do a lot of different developments, but it opened the door for a lot of faith leaders to understand our hearts for just the Lord. And a lot of them started coming to us a few years ago, really just with the thought process that I want to be a good steward to this land. You know, churches hold the most land in a lot of the inner cities, right, and they don't know what to do with it. And I think COVID had a huge impact on the church building and the congregation itself. And so what do we do to sustain? And those are questions that they asked us, and that we came up with some options for, and found a beautiful way to partner. You know, you are solving so many needs, because here in Nashville, there's huge needs in the multifamily world and the housing world. Right now, I think we're still 50,000 doors short, even with all of the housing being built and that has come online. And so churches having access to all this land makes it a perfect partnership The other thing is because the land is owned by the church, and from my conversations, there's a lot of churches who don't want gentrification. They want to find ways to provide housing for the people who are in the community, that work in the community, and that otherwise maybe can't afford it. And so we have found some incredible ways to bring workforce housing, and affordable is a hard word to use, but attainable housing to these communities.
Mm-hmm. And it seems that we're going to see more and more partnerships like this, because as you said, churches own a lot of land. And I'm sure you've heard about the Yes in God's Backyard movement that started in San Diego relatively recently. Do you expect this trend to take off across the country? Because essential workers who are having a difficult time making ends meet would definitely benefit from more housing in this segment.
You know, I really hope so. I think that the intent is in line with what is needed. And this creates the perfect partnership for what communities need. So I do hope that it takes off.
Isn't it difficult to build or to think big in this economic environment? Because over the past few years, all we've heard about is rising interest rates, higher inflation, higher construction costs, higher everything. Have all these challenges had an impact on your enthusiasm? Because I know you started very enthusiastic in this business.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, I will say it has not had an impact at all on my enthusiasm or excitement about any of the projects. I will say it does have an impact on a bottom line.
Obviously.
You know, and that's the reality. But I think the question is, how do you shift? How do you continue to move? I think that the people who are just getting started or not fully grounded or don't have, you know, good relationships in different ways may find this a good time to exit. But for, you know, people, for companies like ours, we have built some incredible relationships in private capital markets and with equity partners who have dollars out there right now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still access to capital. And that is something that we're excited about. And I think that our market really allows me to continue to be excited, because in Nashville, Tennessee, you know, if the rest of the U.S. is impacted, Nashville has been, you know, slightly impacted. It's just it's not seeing the same trends as everywhere else. So that's what keeps me excited.
Excited. And I know you also have this whole mantra about no matter how hard it gets, you must remember to have fun while working, right? Because most real estate developers are quite rigid and overwhelmed by all the challenges around them. All they focus on is strategy, budgets, how to cut costs, lots of issues. Do fun and real estate really go together?
You know, that's a good question too. I think that for me, it has to. I can't wake up every day and be miserable, you know, especially for something that I feel called to do. I think that my excitement doesn't come in the spreadsheets and the numbers. My excitement comes from driving past a development and seeing a guy walk his dog, you know, seeing children playing in the courtyard, or that's what keeps me going and makes me every day wake up and feel excited about what I'm doing.
Do you ever wonder, though, how your life would be now if you hadn't dropped med school? I guess my question is, do you have any regrets?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't have any regrets at all. I think I have reasoned. I have friends that are physicians, and I love hearing the stories and understanding what their daily life is like. And I realize now that I wasn't called, that I was on that path to meet the people I met to pull me where I am now. You know, there are things about myself that I look at and I laugh now that don't align with being a doctor, you know. So I appreciate where I am, but still have a huge heart for medicine and hospitals, and because of that, we find ways to help. So my husband is from Haiti, and we like to give back and have plans on building a hospital in Haiti, and so there's a lot of great things coming up for us.
Is there anyone you look up to? Why is it important for multifamily professionals, particularly at the beginning of their career, to have someone to guide their steps and push them to want more.
Yes. So I had an amazing mentor here locally in Nashville, Tennessee. His name was Pat Emery. And he really came on when Storyville was, you know, a few years down the road and we were at this big pivotal moment. And he came in with a lot of expertise and just gently helped guide the way and share things that he's done. We called him the grandfather of development here in Nashville. And so I had him for about 2.5 years before he passed away. And so since then, I've had an incredible other development people to be able to look up to. So one, for example, is like the Falcone Group. Beautiful family-based company that has done incredible things that is based on family experiences and intentional development, just like myself. And so it's important to see examples of where you're headed, you know? And mm-hmm. so looking at mm-hmm. people like Pat Emery or the Falcone Group are things that that's where I'm headed. So it's important.
And I believe, I mean, I guess your children are looking up to you and maybe one day they'll take over the company.
What I hope. That's the
okay.
plan.
Do they, I mean, I'm guessing they're still young, but are they interested in what you do you and Eldie do?
Yes. So my oldest, he's about to be 14 and he is incredibly sharp in math. He's always been advanced in math and they all naturally have this thing where we're riding down the road and they're looking out the window. And my youngest son, he's like, there should be a gas station right there. You know, and so they're looking at land and thinking what it should be or what's missing. And I appreciate that. So my oldest, he said very strongly that he wants to do what my husband and I do. And so I think, you know, what I found is when you have a background in numbers and accounting and you can understand the financial side, it gets you even further. And so that's the area that I'm pushing him in is because he's so incredible in math.
Really nice. Let's pivot a bit and talk about a different aspect of your job. February is Black History Month. And I know you're very proud of the fact that an African-American owned and operated company has had such a great impact on the communities it operates in. So when you look back to your roots and how much you've evolved, both personally and professionally, what are you most proud of?
You know, I think that, first of all, when I go and speak to high school students, young girls who have never, like myself when I was their age, seen anyone in business or in real estate in the capacity that I am in, it makes me so proud to be able to do what was done for me is take the guardrails off, you know, take the limitations off. And a big piece of that was from my mother, you know, mm-hmm. watching my mom every day go and build a bridge allowed me to really understand that I could step in roles that aren't necessarily traditional mm-hmm. and do something incredible. And so that's the impact that makes me excited when the young girls' faces light up and you could tell that their mind is going and that now they have something else to aim for.
What are your plans for this year? How will you have fun at work this year?
I have fun every day. You know, I think that my husband and I, we like to travel a lot and we like to get inspiration for what we're doing here from other places, because there are things that have worked very well in other places that being brought here would just, you know, create exciting developments. So I plan to travel a little bit, get some other benchmarks under my belt and just dream up, you know, our next developments, dream up the things and execute in the projects that we have coming, the things that make them impactful and make them different.
And my last question refers to a topic that I love talking about. And I know you referred to it a bit earlier, but the topic is diversity, equity, and inclusion in the multifamily industry. How much do you think the industry has evolved when it comes to DEI? Is real estate still a male-dominated territory, particularly in the C-suite?
100%. It still is. Yes. I think, we've got a long way to go, but I can tell you from my experience, every door that has been open for me, I have felt welcome. I have felt in connection with and in partnership with different people. And so I will say that in that sense, that's exciting because I do remember, 15 years ago when I just started in real estate, it didn't feel that way, even just on the broker side of things. So I think we've come a long way. Still have work to do, but for me, my experience is good.
Elisa, it was a pleasure talking to you. I wish you all the best and
Thank
thank you for
you.
sharing your story with MHN.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you all for listening. The next Mission Success episode will come out on the third week of March, but until then, you can check multihousingnews.com for the latest news, feature stories, and podcasts. And if you want to share your own voice with our audience, the MHN Executive Council is your go-to platform. This online tool is dedicated to multifamily leaders who want to stay in touch with each other and discuss trends and issues affecting the industry. All their valuable insights are regularly posted on our website. So if you're interested in having your voice heard, please get in touch with Editor-in-Chief Jessica Fuhr at jessica.fuhr@cpe-mhn.com. Till next month.